I hope you're catching the theme of our service today, the theme that's also caught by our sermon title, Grace Be Unto You and Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning is Foreigners Welcome. Based on our gospel reading, especially verse 18, after Jesus had healed the 10, only one came back to give him thanks, a Samaritan foreigner, and Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give thanks to the glory of God except this foreigner?" I encourage you to follow your sermon outline that's provided for you inside of your bulletin. Is it a pink insert today? So look for the pink insert. Find there your sermon outline. You can follow along with our message, Foreigners Welcome. It was about April of 1991. At that time, I was a pastor in Seattle, Washington. But after finishing my doctorate degree, I received the call to become a seminary professor at Concordia Seminary in Edmonton, your seminary in Edmonton. But in order to receive that call, I had to go through a couple of days of very intensive theological and personal interviews. At the end of the second day, I was physically exhausted. But that night at the president of the seminary's home, there was a reception in which everybody who had been to this interview was to come. So at this reception were all the faculty of the seminary and the 3 district presidents of our church body and the president of our synod and all the board of control of the college and seminary too. And I went as well. Now, they all knew each other because they were all Canadian, and I was a foreigner. Not from Iran, I was from the States. Not from Ukraine, I came from the USA, but I was a foreigner. And soon I began to wonder, was I really welcome in Canada? Was I welcome at this seminary? Because at this reception, where everybody knew everybody, there was myself and the other finalist for the seminary professorship, and they were all talking and snacking and enjoying their beverages, and I was standing in a corner in the living room by myself, and nobody came to talk to me, and I wondered, I took a bath, but I was by myself. I'd never felt so alone, disconnected, and unwelcome in my life. I wondered, was this foreigner welcome? Were they trying to give me a message that maybe they didn't want me to be a professor there? As I sat in the couch in the living room all by myself, one of the seminary professors came by. And I get choked up because this dear man, Dr. Ronald Vall, is now in heaven. But Ronald Vall sat before me with his 3-piece suit on his knees with a drink in his hand, looked up to me and asked the question of question that broke all the ice that made me feel welcome. He asked this question, "Who do you like this year in the race for the World Series in baseball?" I felt welcome. If you know anything about me, you know why. And then he invited others to come, and soon we began to talk, and I felt like maybe there was a place for me, that maybe a foreigner was welcome. But then I began to wonder after that experience, could that be the experience church visitors have on Sunday morning? Could that be an experience people have from outside the Christian faith who come to Christian gatherings? Are foreigners really welcome there? Look at your sermon outline. A major theme of the entirety of Scripture is this: foreigners are welcome. By the way, spending much time in Richmond and going to Richmond Center, as I look around, I recognize who's the foreigner. Foreigners are welcome. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word called goyim. Why don't you just humor me and say that with me? Goyim. Now you know some Hebrew. Goyim. Goyim means the nations, or it means foreigners, or it means non-Jewish people. And the theme of the Bible all through the Old Testament, and we're going to see in the New Testament, is this: foreigners are welcome. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. God says, For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming that I will gather all nations. I will gather all tongues, and they shall come to my glory. And they shall bring all their brethren from the nations to my holy mountain, says the Lord. And I will also take some of them to be my priests and my Levites, says the Lord. For centuries, the nations, the foreigners, the goyim, were the bitter enemies of the Jewish people. They persecuted, killed, and took into captivity the Jewish people. But God says the day will come when he will bring these foreigners in and make them also his people. And to get the last verse, he will make some of these foreigners even his priests. We could say even his pastors for his chosen people. Isaiah goes on in chapter 11. God says, then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. These nations, these foreigners, Isaiah says, will one day come to trust in the root of Jesse. Who is that? It's a nickname for the Messiah. It's a title for our Lord Jesus. The nations will come, says Isaiah. Chapter 42, the prophet writes, God says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. You will be a light to the nations. God's people are given a brand new mission, no longer to fight against the foreigners, the goyim, the nations, but to be a light to them, that is, to show them the Messiah. And finally, Isaiah 60, verse 3, God says, nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your shining. God's promise that foreigners will come and be a part of God's people, and foreigners will bow down in worship to the Messiah. Now, in the New Testament, we see the same thing. Foreigners are welcome. And in Matthew chapter 2, we have the first and most clear fulfillment that foreigners will come and bow at Jesus' feet. Listen to the Christmas story. You know it. Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Who were these magi? Who were these wise guys? No, they were wise men, the scripture says. They were from the east. Now, Amir, I don't want to pick on you and make you feel uncomfortable, but these magi from the east were probably from Iran or Iraq. And they came to bow at Jesus' cradle and say, you are the Messiah of all mankind, not just the Jews. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus says, listen to these precious words. Jesus says, I say to you that many will come from east and west, and they will sit and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What the hymn said, in Christ there is no east or west. One day will come when God's people from all over the world, who their faith in Christ, will be at his table in heaven. Luke chapter 10, listen to these words. Jesus said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, they left him half dead. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And now I'm going to do my Paul Harvey invitation, and you know the rest of the story. This Samaritan, this foreigner, came back and healed and cared for this man. This foreigner, this half-breed, was the hero of one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And finally, our gospel lesson for today. After all 10 lepers were healed, only one came back, a foreigner, a Samaritan, and here's what Jesus said, was no one found to give thanks and glory to God except this foreigner. Notice on your outline 1C, the first controversy that hit the very new Christian church was this. Do we want to welcome foreigners into the church? Let me explain this. And by the way, if you have time later, go home and read Acts chapter 15. Acts 15 is the account of the first church voters meeting. I kid you not. And the one agenda item on the voters' meeting was this: should we let people who look differently, smell different, eat differently, have different customs than us, should we let them be welcomed in our church? The Jewish people were asking, the Jewish people who had come to faith in the Messiah and were now Christian, should Gentiles, these Goyim, be welcomed in our church? Would you want your daughter to marry one of those Goyim? Now, the Goyim, the nations, over the history, the centuries of the history of Israel, were the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. All of these foreign nations had control and power and run roughshod over the people of Israel, killed them, persecuted them. But through the preaching of Christ and his apostles, the Gospels went out, and these Goyim Gentiles were coming to faith. They were coming to faith in Christ the Messiah, and now the church had to make a big decision. Do we welcome those people who did such evil things to us over all these centuries into the church and become a part of us? It was the biggest controversy the new church had ever faced. And finally, some very self-righteous Jewish people who'd become Christians said, well, maybe we'll let them become a part of our church if, first, they get circumcised. And if they get circumcised, that is the men, then they can become a part of the church. Translation: if you're a Gentile, first you become a Jew, then you can become a Christian. That was the controversy. Listen to Acts 15, just a few verses, because they solved the controversy. And you better be thankful they did, because if they had not solved it, we, Goyim, would not be in the kingdom of God today. Listen to Acts 15. Some men came down from Judea and began to teach the Christians there, unless you're circumcised according to the custom and law of Moses, you can't be saved and be a part of the church. And when Paul and Barnabas had great debate with them — this reminds me of voters' minutes after a voters' meeting, there was great debate, read between the lines. After Paul and Barnabas had great debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders and decide this issue. And some of the Pharisees who had believed in Jesus stood up and said it's necessary to circumcise them to direct them to observe the law of Moses. Then the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter, and here is the understatement of understatement, and they had much debate. But the Holy Spirit led the church to realize red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in his sight. Today it would sound like this: unless these folks who live around Richmond become like us, we're not sure if we want them in this church. Unless they change their skin color, their language, their custom, their clothes, their haircuts, their family situations, the food they eat, unless they've been a Lutheran for four generations, we're not sure how comfortable we are having them a part of our congregation. If this was the decision the early church had made, none of us would be here today, because these Jewish believers welcomed we Goyim in. And that's why we're here. Look at your outline, point two. The gospel is intended for everyone. Romans 3:23 says, and if you don't like it, I didn't make it up. That's what the Bible says. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned. I have sinned. Every human being on this earth has sinned. But the word in the message gets worse. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages are what you earn or deserve because of the work you've done. What's the work you've done? Sin. What's the wage you deserve? Death. But in place of death, God in his mercy sent his Son, Jesus Christ. So you get the free gift of eternal life. It's free to you, but it cost him his life. As our Lord Jesus let sinful men crucify him on that cross, he did it for you. He did it for me. As his precious blood flowed, he did it to wash away your sins. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the good news for all of us sinners is this: the free gift of God for all is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you." Are you listening, O sinner? He is patient towards you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God still wants all people, from Sri Lanka, from Ukraine, from China, even from the United States, to hear his word, to repent of their sins, to live with him forever. God wants everyone to be with him, even, especially that person you just don't care for, even that foreigner who causes you distress. You see, now we're at part three. Having foreigners in our midst at times is not very desirable or valued. Let's expand the definition of foreigner. Not just foreigner by race, not just foreigner by language, but maybe even foreigner by current lifestyle. Are they people we know who just aren't living like the way we think they should live? People who is a foreigner by the mistakes or bad choices they've made in their past life. People who are foreigner because they're different than the majority. A person who's a foreigner because their presence makes the majority feel uncomfortable. Someone whose cultural, social, economic, or personal life you just don't like. They're the foreigner today. And often you see, if we're honest with ourselves, we have anxiety because of the unknown. Since I've been here twice, I've been taken by some of our Chinese members graciously, and they would not let me pay to beautiful dim sum my first time. And in this restaurant, I was the only person who looked like this, thank God. And the waitress kindly tried to bring a fork and a knife because they figured this outcast wouldn't know, but I could do some of this. But when I was there, I felt a little uncomfortable. You see, we have anxiety due to the unknown, don't we? People who are foreign or different cause us discomfort. How many times do you have at your dinner table someone who's foreign to you? A common thing for a congregation, and here's where you are about ready to rescind my call and send me back to Alberta when you hear what I'm going to say now. It's a common thing for a congregation to want to look back to the good old days. Ah, when the church was all white. Ah, when the pews were filled with experienced Christians. When it seemed like everybody looked alike or thought alike, and when every household was one mother, one father, two children under the same roof. But too much harping back to the good old days can get in the way, can make us miss the challenges and opportunities that God puts for us right now. Many congregations are asking this question, how do I know? Because in my former life as a seminary professor, I was in many congregations helping and serving and doing things like that. Many congregations are asking, what does God want us to do? What is our mission? Now, I know I've only been here 2 months. Does it seem like 2 years? I've only been here 2 months. But we could never ask the question, what is God's mission? The mission field is coming to our door. The mission field every week is walking through the hallway. The mission field on Sunday mornings at 9:30 is in the English as a second language class, and we need more conversation partners. The mission is coming to our door. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need those who will rise up with me as we support young families who are struggling with their young people with all the other options in the world. Mom and Tots drop in on Thursday mornings. The list can go on. Our Mandarin classes on Thursdays. The list continues. The question is not, what is our mission? The question is, will I be involved? God is bringing the mission field to us. We don't have to worry about supporting foreign missions. We're here on the mission field. God is calling each of us to reach out to all those foreigners in our lives. We're expanding the definition of foreigner. A foreigner could be a family member. I'm sure you have none of these in your life, but I have almost all of my family, foreign family members who have strayed away from the faith. A foreigner could be an inactive church member. And you know the inactive person. You know the one you're missing. My challenge is, will you love them back into the church and the kingdom? A foreigner could be all people who have been wounded or hurt by the church. Oh my. It's also been said the church is one of the only organizations that shoots its own wounded. We have people hurt by the Christian church. Will we reach out to them with a word of repentance and love in Jesus' name? The foreigners could be people who also have made themselves a foreigner by their own sinful choices. It's been not your fault at all. But finally, we ask the point four question, who's the foreigner? And now you know why we have the outline. You know we're getting close to the end here. Who's the foreigner? The Bible makes it clear that we were once foreigners to God's kingdom. All through the Old Testament text, we realize that we were not born into God's family as a Jewish individual. We Gentile foreigner goyims were invited in because Jewish believers in Jesus invited us to be here. And that's how our ancestors came. But even more, and now we're getting really close to home, our sin, yes, your sin, yes, your sin and my sin makes us foreigners to God. In Luther's Catechism, he puts it this way. He reminds us that because of our nature, because of our sinful nature, we are blind and dead and an enemy to God. That is, we are sin-separated foreigners from God. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. Listen to Romans chapter 5. It's wonderful news for a sinner like me, I hope for you. Paul writes, while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear that? While we were still foreigners, cut off from God because of our sin, God in Christ came looking for us. While we were still helpless and foreigners due to sin, before we had a chance to clean up our act, Christ laid down his life for us. Here is the love of God for sinners, that Jesus would die and rise for our forgiveness for foreigners like you and me. And Jesus is at our side as we carry on this mission to reach out to foreigners today. Foreigners by race, but also foreigners by lifestyle or by being separated from God. This is what the church calls evangelism. And by the way, here is probably the single best definition of evangelism I've ever heard. It really puts us humbly in our place. Evangelism is simply this: one beggar telling another beggar where the free bread is. That's all evangelism is. I've been fed with the bread of life by our Lord Jesus. Let me bring you to the place where you can be fed as well. God's love and forgiveness has drawn us foreigners to the cross. So we're no longer foreigners, but we're God's friends. The theme of our life should finally then be verse 3 of that old hymn, Rock of Ages. Here's how it goes. And I won't sing it to you to spoil your breakfast. I'll say the words. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The last of our sermon is a vision of heaven. St. John the Apostle has a vision of heaven, and he describes it as a crowd of foreigners from all different lands and countries. Listen to what he says in Revelation chapter 7. St. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every tongue, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, waving palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, salvation to He who sits on the throne, the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" What has John told us in his vision of heaven? That's where I got the sermon title. John tells us that all foreigners are welcome. You are welcome. I am welcome. My friends, let's roll out the welcome mat in this place. Thanks be to God, foreigners are welcome. In the name of Jesus, amen.